At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Missing minerals? 99% of us are. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's missing, naturally supporting mood, energy, and immunity. Get yours now at traceminerals.com.
You're tuned in to our 4th of July 2025 flashback weekend, a look back at some of the biggest stories we've been covering for you so far in 2025. What you're about to hear is a previous broadcast.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Donna Adelson, well, she walked into court this week hoping to convince a judge that she was the real victim here. 75-year-old grandmother trapped in a jail full of violent criminals, denied proper medical care, and barely getting any sleep. There was a lot of sighs in her testimony. She said she was being assaulted, extorted, and suffering while awaiting trial. In other words, she was in jail. But the prosecution had a slightly different take on all this, one that involved jailhouse calls, escape plans, and an almost successful flight to Vietnam. But by the end of the hearing, Donna wasn't just staying behind bars. Her own words were now officially admissible at trial. Joining me to discuss is criminal defense attorney Bob Mata, host of the podcast Defense Diaries, wherever you get podcasts, also on YouTube, to break down exactly what went wrong for Donna in the courtroom. Let's get right to it. If you're a defense attorney, how do you even begin to spin the jailhouse call where your client is literally talking about escaping to a country with no U.S. extradition?
I mean, just like her lawyer did. I mean, you know, and she tried to sell the story. She's like, if I thought for 1 minute she was trying to escape, I never would have signed off on this motion. I never would have drafted it. You know, so I mean, they came up with this concept that, oh, you know, Harvey and I had gone to Vietnam. We needed some peace. We were very upset, obviously. Charlie, our son, had just been found guilty and was going to prison. And, you know, and I checked with, you know, people and there was no warrant for me. You know, I talked to the lawyer. They said, look, if there's nothing out there, you can do anything you want. You know, so I ended up booking the tickets because we had been to Vietnam previously and we found it to be a very harmonious, peaceful country and we really enjoyed it. So that's where we decided to go, you know, and now whether or not it just so happens that they have no extradition there, you know, and in the place that they were going to go to yes. after that had no extradition too. So point.
And it's a talking point. It's not just like a, oh, really? I didn't know they had no extradition. It's like you're literally discussing it. So I'm going to guess it's kind of a selling point of that little trip there, you know, just in case you want to stay over a little bit longer. I mean, could this all have been avoided? I mean, why did she take the stand at her own bond hearing? I don't really, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around the purpose of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think they needed her to get on in order to testify to the shit that was going on in the jail. You know, like, yeah. I don't know how else you get it in. Yes, it was written in the pleading, but that's not evidence in the case. That's just words on paper. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like we read pleadings all the time. People many times think whatever's in one side's pleading or the other is total bullshit. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the point. Of like you got to go in and vet it at court. So I can see why they did it. They came in. They obviously kept it to a very limited scope, you know, but it came off exactly how you think it would. Like she's a 75-year-old woman who hates being in jail.
Yes.
You know, like a bunch of like petty shit that a bunch of everybody in jail goes through. You know, yeah, the beds are not comfortable, Donna.
Yeah.
You know, people are mean in there. You know, you're dealing with some hardened criminals that are going to be in there. They're going to know who you are. Mm-hmm. They're going to know that you have money. They're going to come at you. I mean, that's kind of part of the deal. You know, yeah. I mean, it's like the medical care is not going to be what you're used to. You got a wax buildup in your tough shit.
Yeah.
You're spending $7,500 to have some high end ENT guy like dig that shit out. Well, you're not getting that in jail. Yeah. Sorry. You know, you're having a hard time hearing. Too bad. Get some Q-tips.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I know. I mean, did you find any of her arguments of her care in jail or lack thereof to be viable or anything that really, you know, deserves a whole lot of attention?
No, I didn't. No. In all honesty, could that be because I'm covering the Richard Allen case so much, and yeah. I've seen what
that real guy went through
pre-trial.
Yeah.
It makes it look like her shit's the pettiest shit I've ever heard in my life.
I agree.
You know what I mean? So, you know, like, and I realize that I could be looking at it from that perspective and being like, wow, like this, if she only knew. you know, how bad it could really be. You know, but if I'm looking at it from a perspective of if she were my client and she were complaining of these things, I'd take the shot. You know, I'd take the shot. I'd write it up. I'd be like, all right, like, I don't want you to hold your breath on this.
Mm-hmm.
Know the likelihood, because I don't think she's as much of a flight risk as she is a suicide risk.
Yeah.
I tend to think that, like, that would be my concern if I were the state. That, and I was frankly a little bit surprised that they didn't argue that.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of stuck with the flight risk. I mean, they've got her passport. Like, I don't know that Donna's going down to the boat docks and, you know, like paying somebody $5,000 to like stow her and Harvey away and bring them to Cuba. I mean, maybe she could do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're obviously going to be tailing her. She'd obviously have a GPS, and if she cuts it off, they're all away. You know what I mean? It's like the concept of her, the flight risk thing is not that big to me.
Yeah.
The concept of her and Harvey just saying, she's like, dear, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you right now, like, I got a little bit of a taste from this jail experience. Like, the concept of me living the rest of my life in a prison, I'm not willing to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. And I'm calling it a day. You know, because, I mean, she can just look at her son's case
mm-hmm.
and know they're going to get her.
Yeah.
They're going to get her. You know, I don't see any world in which she's walking away with this, with the not guilty.
What are the biggest things you think they're going to get her on here? Because one of the biggest holes in this is that there's not technically direct evidence. There's not an email or a text or recorded conversation where Donna explicitly orders the hit. There is a check, but we don't have, you know, the exact smoking gun here. What are going to be the big points that they're going to hammer out here in court?
They're going to have to continue to build up the concept that Charlie didn't have cash liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, because then the money can only come from one place. And the other thing that we know is that the money is going to be tracked. So it came from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So short of Donna and Harvey having a safe with just straight up cash, it was never accounted for. And these are all cash transactions. You know, maybe she's got a shot in kind of building some doubt that they don't have the proof. But I mean, otherwise it's, you know, you're putting on the case against Charlie in the sense that, well, Charlie was the middleman, you know, but she was the money man.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's no other way to look at this, you know, cause I mean, a large amount of money was paid off to Meg Manabaugh, you know? And that's like, it came from somewhere, you know, I mean, that's what the case, like, they're probably, and you know, frankly, we can't pretend that the you know, the jailhouse calls and the overhears don't exist, because you know, she knew.
Yeah.
You know, they have enough to know.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not she was at the, you know, she was the puppet master, because really it's the same issue that they have with Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
Probably to a greater extent, because I was having this conversation yesterday. That, you know, the problem, like, there's no reason they need to be waiting for arresting Wendy if they have the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think secretly, and my buddy Jay, like, came up with this concept and it really resonated. He's like, you know what, I think that what the hope is from the state is that if Donna ends up getting convicted, that it's going to really, really piss Charlie off. And it's going to piss Charlie off to the extent, and the concept being that now him, his mother, potentially his father, who they may arrest next, he's still still very much in play.
Yeah.
You know, that every one of the family members is now either in prison or going to prison, and Wendy's living down in Texas eating fucking bonbons. Mm-hmm. That might be enough for Charlie to turn state's evidence and say, yeah, I'll give it up. I'm done with this shit. We're all not going to sit in prison while Wendy lives her life.
Yeah.
When we did this for her. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. Like what is Charlie going to say to protect his mom? I think Charlie will probably go to the mat protecting his mom, you know, which is a very tricky thing because he's got appeals.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's put in an impossible position where he's going to really have to go up there and continue to deny everything, you know, because he can't submarine his own appeal, you know, if it's still his contention that he didn't have anything to do with this, that, you know, that they all got whatever Rauschbaum's theory was, you know, that they were getting extorted, you know. So, yeah, it's, you know, I mean, I think the lesson that you take away from this is, you know, you look at the irony that she'd be willing to move to Tallahassee now, but wasn't willing to do it back when Dan was alive. You know, you want to be near your grandkids and go fucking move near your grandkids.
Yeah, that's up to you at that point. Yeah,
yeah. You don't kill the father.
No, you don't necessarily force him to have to go move back where you are. That's
right.
Your kids move out and they move on and they go on with life. If you'd like to be close to them, that's then your job at that point in time.
Exactly.
And you live with the consequences of that choice. If Charlie were to turn, how would that? I mean, obviously, we got the appeal issue here. Let's say he waits to turn. Would he wait till he can run those out? I mean, if he fails at all of them, and it's like, well, I guess I got nothing to lose now. And what sort of a benefit would there be a benefit to Charlie if he were to turn and just kind of go state's witness on Wendy? Would that affect his sentence? Would that be something that would be looked at, or would that be more so to help try and save mom more than anybody else?
I think it would probably be a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
I have to believe that they have gone to Donna's attorneys and Charlie's attorneys and said, just give us Wendy. Mm-hmm. If you work with us on Wendy, we'll do everything we can to go in and get you resentenced and shave some time off that. You know, they're probably making the same type of promises to Donna.
Mm-hmm.
Or not.
you know?
But as far as Charlie goes, I mean, that's kind of where the rubber hits the road from the state's perspective, is he going to be willing to submarine his appellate chances by turning state's evidence, or is he going to wait to play it out? Because I just the case against Wendy, at least from what we know, I mean, they certainly have some circumstantial evidence. She's driving by the crime scene, right as it's happening. It very much seems to be that she was in the know. That's, again, another amazing coincidence.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know if they have enough. If you get 12 people in a jury box that really know nothing about the Adelson case and you're just putting on...
Yeah.
The evidence, you know, and I mean, you're going to have you're at that point, you're relying on the fact that common sense dictates that there's no way that Wendy's mother and brother are going through all of this shit. And it's not at her behest because who benefits the most?
Exactly.
Donna getting to see her grandkids every once in a while. Yeah, sure. But her daughter not having to deal with Dan Markell anymore, I guess, is what. You know, so, but that's really, you know, it's a highly circumstantial case against Wendy.
Yeah. I mean,
they really need one of them to flip, unless they have, that's what I'm saying. If they had powerful evidence, if they had any text messages between Wendy and Charlie or Wendy and mom or WhatsApp, whatever, if they had any kind of communications where she's inculpating herself or showing that she had knowledge, I don't see why they'd be waiting. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I think as far as Donna went, like Charlie was the, you know, he was the test case.
Mm-hmm.
We have to like, cause it's like, we've got to run this thing by a jury and see how it plays out. And if they're receptive, then we feel very comfortable about moving forward on Donna and then potentially Wendy. But, you know, it's, we'll see how it plays out. It's just it's a jacked up story.
And yeah. So I mean, it's like they've been kind of just picking them off one by one. Obviously, we did see Donna on the stand, and that was interesting. Do you think she takes the stand in the actual trial? Is that a good idea from a legal perspective?
I don't know. I never think it's a good idea for the defendant to take the stand. Like, yeah. Even if they're innocent,
yeah.
It's so easy to have something that you say being misconstrued, especially if there's enough circumstantial evidence that exists, which typically if it's gone to trial, there's going to be some things that exist that look, if looked at in the right context, look shady.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
You don't make it all the way to trial with there being no direct evidence and no substantial circumstantial evidence. So, you know, and then even if you're innocent and they like, but you're weighing it against the circumstantial evidence that they have, like, oh, well, you wrote this big fat check. What was that for, Donna? For the TV repair man? Yeah, sure, pal. You know, like the whole Harvey's birthday thing, like all these little things that are going to come out, you know, when she gets up there, you know, and she says one thing that just does not jive, you're done for up there.
Yeah.
I mean, if they get the sense that you're full of shit at any point during your testimony, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, because if they figure if you're lying about that, you're lying about all of it.
Yeah. She just struck me. I mean, without even, if you didn't know anything about the case and you just watched her testimony, she doesn't come off as a likable person. She comes across as that, you know, narcissistic grandmother or mother that everybody knows, someone who is like that. That's just the victim of everything, and everything is so hard.
Privileged.
And just so, you know, just completely into themselves without any sort of, you know, recognition of anything else around her. That, and it's sickening. It, you know, especially if you recognize that those type of people in your life and you're like, oh, she's one of them. I mean, and 100%. It's to an extreme. And I do not see her coming across as the frail grandmother that's just been victimized here. She does not pull that at all.
I agree. And I mean, look at that bond hearing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was the perfect example of exactly what you're saying. Everybody that is in that facility is going through the same shit, and she's getting on the stand sniveling about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it just makes her look like an entitled, narcissistic, wealthy old bag.
Yeah. Who would very likely do something like this. I mean, just, well, if I can't have it, then I'm going to take care of it this way. And she doesn't have to say that. You just, I mean, and it's, you don't want to put words in somebody's mouth or anything, but that's the aura that she gives off. Right. And it's so toxic.
You answered your own question. That's why you don't put her on the stand.
I know.
She oozes that shit.
Why did they already, I mean, they had to know what she was going to be like on the stand, and they put her up
well,
there.
Well, maybe not. Now they know.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe in coaching, she was very
sympathetic.
She came across as like B. Arthur or something. B. Arthur's probably not a good example.
B
is kind of like her.
Yes, Aunt B from the Andy Griffith Show. Yeah. That's who you're hoping.
Yes, that's what you want. Or Betty White. That sort of.
Yes.
Get a Betty White up there, and then it would work. But yeah, you don't want B. Arthur on the stand.
No, you don't want, you know, because that's basically who you have.
That's what you have right now. That's a good good. A good point to make there. How do you think the defense is going to try and poke holes into the prosecution's argument that Donna funded the murder or didn't fund the murder? When you have the check, when you have, you know, the drop off, you have all that stuff. I mean, how are you going to say that she didn't know what the hell she was doing?
Right. Well, I mean, you've got to come up with a viable explanation of where the money went.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, like, there has to be, like, whatever they're tendering to the state in discovery, which they would have to tender if they have the ability to rebut their evidence with financial statements. But, like, I mean, you have to know they've gone in, they've dug in. they have all of her financials. Mm-hmm. They have all of her, like, Harvey's financials. Like, the real thing is like, how much is there? Mm-hmm. Like, we only heard about the one.
Yeah.
You know, does there exist more? You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, when they finally went in and arrested Donna, you know, that I'm sure the next step was that they went and got a search warrant for the house.
Mm-hmm.
When you get the search warrant for the house, you're then getting into their safe.
Yeah.
And you're finding out if they have a massive amount of cash piled up in there. Because then if you're the state, you're making the argument, well, okay, she only wrote the one check, but, you know, during the search of her home, she had $350,000 cash piled up in her safe. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so for the defense, I mean, you're just going to have to say, but what evidence do you have that she paid it?
Yeah.
That's how you attack it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're saying, well, them's just words that the state's saying.
Sure.
That's not evidence. They need proof mm-hmm. that the money came from Donna, went to Charlie, and then went to Katie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, they have to prove it up.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, you're really here. I am certain, or shouldn't say anything in this case about being certain, but I'm guessing that they're not going to go with the whole strategy of the money got paid as an extortion thing again. Mm-hmm. But I mean, because that is a thing.
And Washburn
really, yeah. He was all in on it, man. Like, I mean, in terms of the defense, he was like, he was like, man, like, I think this is what happened type shit. like, I believe it. Like, he was really trying to sell it. And, like, if you're Donna's attorney, I mean, that attorney doesn't strike me as one who's going to be willing to put forth that defense, which leaves you with that question. I mean, as bizarre and kind of ridiculous as that defense was, at least it was an explanation of why
money. It's a defense of some sort. Yeah, I just
if they're not going to do that, yeah, you know, like, she's going to have to come up with some other explanation.
Yeah,
which I don't know what it is.
Or is she going to take a plea deal? Are they going to offer a plea deal of like, look, we'll give you 20 years, and you know, maybe you'll be 95 when you get out. I don't know.
I mean, like that. Like, I'm telling you, Donna wants to call it a day.
Yeah.
Like the concept of what she was living, the entirety of her life, to what she's living now.
Yeah.
You and like who she is, who we know her to be from watching and listening to her and hearing about her, dude. She is in hell.
Yeah.
In her mind, for her, she is in absolute hell. Because I am typically of the mindset that we as human beings can adapt.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how shitty the situation is, we adapt. You know, like, you get used to it. Like, we just, like, Donna will never get used to it.
No.
Like, Donna, like, you know what I mean? I think that, like, I don't even know if she'd take a deal, if they offered her a deal just on the off chance that she can beat it, that she's willing to take that risk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, because at this point, I'm sure they've made the offer, because the longer that Georgia Kappelman has to prepare for this trial, the less likely it is that deal stays on the table, if there is one.
Sure.
You know? So
yeah, it's game over for Donna in pretty much every way imaginable, it seems.
And, yep.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Can't wait to watch.
The latest true crime stories, expert breakdowns, and shocking twists all in one place. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.